going to be in 2 Samuel 6. What a year, 2020. A couple of friends of mine, when we text each other and something happens, either, you know, that we both know, we text a simple word to each other that says, bro, with three dots. And it's like, we go like, yeah, we know. 2020, bro, right? Seriously, what a year. We were overnight locked down in our homes there in March. Our church, our doors were closed for the first time. And we could not come in. We listened to, you know, and watched online. And I can tell you from experience, I only did it twice, but having to be here in this sanctuary with nobody in here except the two people up in the booth and looking at that camera, it was different. It's hard. We like to see people. Even though it's only half your face right now, I like to see you. Some parents became overnight homeschoolers, teachers. They learned Zoom and Google Meet and Google Hangouts. And I was introduced to a new app called Remind app. We all became IT workers with passwords and logins and Wi-Fis. And it was just different. We ran out of toilet paper. Don't forget that. And paper towels. The white gold, as they called it, for a season there. Our living rooms became our churches. As we were just us and the TV. I remember the first Sunday getting up after this whole thing hit. And it was not the same because it's usually go time in the morning in my house getting the kids. And it's like, not today. It's the living room, kids. That's the day and the season that we're in. And of course, we got a new piece of apparel introduced to our wardrobe. The ever controversial, sticky, sweaty, stinky, uncomfortable mask. Yes. Isn't that interesting? Like, you can go to the bank now wearing a mask. Just thought about it, put sunglasses on. It's like, they really don't know who you are. Anyway, don't do that. Don't. I learned one thing at church, Mom. You can go to the bank wearing a mask. Don't. Our hands are the cleanest they've ever been. And dry from all the soap, right? And on a more serious note, we were able to see what a hopeless, Christless world does when faced with turmoil and pandemics. We saw riots, destruction, death, pain. What a year. We also learned how much we depend on the Lord or how little we did. But it certainly did something. It should have sparked something in your mind and your heart. You go like, a year ago, I was here. I did the last service of 2019. You guys remember the world was buzzing. It's like, oh, 2020 is the year of vision. In fact, I heard a message by a guy. It's like, 2020 vision for the next year. And I remember as I was sharing, I said something, you know, because I'm not big into resolutions. You know, by the end of February, they're all gone. You're eating hamburgers and watching football. But I said, what if our resolution, our plan, our hope, our aim for next year is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? I said that, Matthew 6:33. And as time has shown us, it has been a year that we were almost forced to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness as we found ourselves with no answers, fighting, as Pastor Bill will allude to often, an invisible enemy that has claimed many lives and certainly divided a nation. Isn't that encouraging, by the way, how we start the service? Yeah, everybody's smiling. I can see it through your masks. But with all that being said, as we go into 2 Samuel in verse 6, let me give you a little bit of background, and then we'll pick up the verse. 2 Samuel 6, before we get there, King David, this is giant slain shepherd David, has now become the king of Israel, not only the king of Judah, but now he is the king of Israel, thus fulfilling what the Lord told him he would do, right, when Samuel anointed him as king. And as one of his first acts as the new king over the whole land was to bring the ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem. The ark had been taken by the Philistines there in 1 Samuel, and they took it, and they put it in the temple of their god, Dagon. You probably know the story. And they put the ark next to the statue of Dagon. Well, they come the next day, and the thing is falling over. And the next day, the head's broken, and they just kept breaking. So they said, let's get this thing out of here. Well, not only that, they all got hit with hemorrhoids, the whole people. So they had a hard time. It was very painful. So they said, let's get this thing out of here. So they sent the ark of the covenant back to Abinadab, a Levite, and they put it on a cart. This is 1 Samuel 6:8. And they send it back. It's like, we don't want anything to do with this. Now, what's the Ark of the Covenant, Ro? What are you talking about, Ark? Well, if you don't know, the Ark was a box. The word Ark means ark, box or chest. 3 feet or so by two. And it was gold-plated. And inside, there were three things. Who can remember that? Aaron's rod. The Ten Commandments. And manna. Thank you. Excellent. The first service, they kept looking and said, what? Tell us. No, I'm kidding. They knew one. Three things. And on top of, there was a lid for an extra point called the mercy seat. The lid. And on top of that, there were the cherubim looking at each other. And the Lord says, that's where I'll meet you. On the mercy seat. Not in the law, but on the mercy seat. So this ark was taken by the Philistines, returned to Abinadab, and King David now wants it back in Jerusalem where it belongs in the tabernacle that he built for the Lord. So as one of his first actions in his first 100 days of office, sorry, bad joke, is to bring the presence of the Lord back into the city because it represented God's presence. Keep that in mind. So verse 1 of chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. It says, again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So David is the new guy. He's the king. He's got it all going for himself. He's an older David, much older than the shepherd boy that came and killed Goliath. And he wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. So he gathers 30,000 choice men, leaders, influencers, smart people. And he is, by the way, the distance is about 10 miles from Abinadab, where his house, to Jerusalem. It's not a very long distance. And he gathers 30,000 people to go get this ark. Verse 3. Then they said the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, who was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. So when the Philistines returned the ark to Abinadab 20 years prior or so, they put it on a cart. Now, if you know your Bibles, you would know that there is very specific instructions on how to transport the ark and all the furnishings of the tabernacle. Very detailed. The Lord gave very specific, almost ritualistic steps to be taken to move this. So the Philistines put it on an ark, and David says, we're going to get 30,000, and we're going to put it on a new ark. I mean, new cart. We're going to go to the dealership and get the 2021 model, the Texas edition truck. We're going to put this thing in the back with the lift gate. That is like, man, nothing but the best for the 30,000 of the smart, cool influencers. All of them. We're going to have a parade. We're going to have the fog light, the fogs and the lights, and we're going to have music. What a party we're going to throw the Lord. Right? Now, interestingly enough, Uzzah, his name means strength. And Ahio means friendly or brotherly. So it's interesting how they're the ones driving this cart. It says that Ahio went before the ark. Now, they were Levites. Abinadab was a Levite, and so were his sons by birth. So, they have this parade, and it says, verse 5, then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, stringed instruments, on tambourines, sistrums, and on cymbals. And again, they have a party. It's a parade. They're celebrating. They want to do nothing but the best. Now, there's always a problem when the church or the children of God copy what the world is doing. Now, the Philistines sent it on a cart. So we're going to do it better than the world. We're going to put it on a new cart. We're not to copy what the world is doing because we're not of this world. We are to follow what the Word of God says and do things how the Word of God tells us to do it. So in the name of relevancy or hip or trying to attract a certain crowd, we go and we push lines and we bend the rules here. Let's just make it all inclusive here. And we, if we're not careful, start copying how the world is doing things in order to be like, oh, we're cool, we're hip. We got to be careful because we're not of this world. Now, verse 6, it says, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Now, the threshing floor, if you don't know what the threshing floor is, it was basically a floor. Okay, pretty insightful there. But it will be a place where they will bring the grain. And they will throw it, right, the wheat and the grain, and they will throw it on the ground. And they will have an animal pull a board, a heavy piece of wood, just pull it and kind of drive it on top of the grain. By doing that, on the friction, the peel, the chaff of the wheat, the grain will come loose. So after it was done, you know, the animal was separating that. They will gather all this stuff and they will pick it up and throw it in the air. And as the wind blew, the chaff will blow away and the wheat, the good stuff, will fall to the ground. So it was a place of separation between what's bad or not needed, useless, the chaff, and the wheat, what's good. It's interesting to me that the ark, the new cart, hit a bump, stumble on the threshing floor. I think there is more to it than that. Verse 7, it says, then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there because by the ark of God. Now, in Numbers 4, as I said earlier, the Lord gave very specific instructions of how to transport the ark of God. It says, when Aaron, I'll read it to you, Numbers 4:15, when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, and they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. So it was not only a Levite, because Ahio and Uzzah, they're Levites, but it was from the clan of Kohath. And they were not to touch it. They were to cover it, wrap it, and nobody touch it lest they die. So you have to think in your mind's eye, why is David, the psalmist, King David, doing this way? When he knew God's word, that how it was supposed to be done. Here's what I think. When things are cruising, when we're rolling, where things are just working, everything, we're going on a jolly way and everything seems to be falling into place, we can, if we're not careful, become complacent. and laxed in our walk and how we do things. And the lines that we hailed back when we got saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And those very definite lines that we're not doing this or we're doing that or we're going to church. And see, they can be blurred because we get complacent. I am the king, David could have said. Everything is working. I'm the man. Actually, God refers to me as a man after God's own heart. Right? I can put it on a new cart. I can throw a parade for the Lord. But he pushed away a very clear instruction of how God said things are to be done. And there's two ways to do things in life. God's way and my way. God's way and the way of the world. There's two ways to do life. There's two ways to raise our kids. God's way or the way of the world. There's two ways to work and be at work. God's way, honoring him, working as unto him, or the way of the world. There's two ways to do ministry. God's way, according to his book, his Bible, or the trend, the hype, the hip, the cool, the relevant. There's two ways. Now, another guy that hit a bump on the road was Joshua. There in Joshua 9, 14, you know the story. God told Joshua, when they came to conquer the land, right, cross the Jordan, what did he tell them to do? Go and bring him a basket of brisket and rolls and butter and tell him, hi, we're the Israelites and we come to take your land. Please leave. What did he do? What did God tell him to do? To wipe him out. All of them. God gave them 400 years to repent. They didn't repent. God says, wipe them all out. Well, there came a very tricky group of people called the Gibeonites. You probably know the story. And they figure it out. They go like, man, this guy's going to wipe us all out. So let's get the old clothes, the holy shoes, and moldy bread. Let's tell them that we come from afar and we don't know what's going on to spare us and to make a deal with us and not kill us. So they came and did that. And Joshua and his boys had their questions, and they go like, no, but we really come from a far land. Look, our bread, it was fresh when we left our land. Look, all the mold. So they made a covenant with them. I'll read it to you. It says, this is Joshua 9, 14 and 15. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not, here we go, they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them. He made a covenant with them to let them live, and the rulers of the congregations swore to them. Joshua's gotten victory after victory after victory. We're cruising, ministry's flowing, everything is working great. Sure, you're up. Let's make a deal. Yeah, after all, we're killing it. But this came back to bite them. Because why? Because they did not ask counsel of the Lord. What, Raul, where are you going with all this? Well, here's the deal. I believe, personally, before this pandemic hit, last year, about this time, we were all going our jolly way. The economy was up. We had the guy we liked running the show. Some of us, I'm not saying. Okay, so don't call me later. If you have a problem with that, you can email Pastor Bill. He'll set it all up. Sorry, Pastor Bill. Our houses were gaining equity. Everything was cruising right along. But then this happened. And I believe personally that this was a bump on the road for us. A threshing floor experience, dividing, that's showing us, hey, it's not about the man in office. It's not about the economy. It's not about your equity. It's about me, the Lord would say. It's about you honoring me. This year showed us what's in us. And some of us perhaps got hit harder than others. I talked to some people after first service and they go like, yeah, it was a year of resetting. You guys hear about this bus talk about the great reset going on? You guys hear about that? Coming out of the United Kingdom, the great reset. They're going to reset the world's financial system after this. So, have you guys heard about that? I have. Well, I'm not so worried about a great reset. How about a God reset? When he says, like, back to basics. Oh, but Uzzah's dead. Yeah, because you're not doing things the way I told you. Oh, but my relationships are dead. Oh, but I burn all those bridges because you're not doing things the way God tells you to do. Oh, but my wife doesn't. Because you're not doing things the way God's way. There's two ways to do things in life. One is God's way, and one is the world's. Now, I'm going to make a statement right now, and I pray to this one, and I can stand behind it. But people around us, they're not going to be drawn to the Lord by our compromise. They're not. This thing of, oh, I'm just going to blend right in. I'm going to talk like they talk. I'm going to watch what they watch. I'm going to listen to what they listen. I'm going to dress because I'm going to be undercover Christian. You know, and then after we're like comfortable, we're like homies, like then I'm going to tell them to repent from their sins because I've been acting like they are. People are not drawn to the Lord by compromise. They're drawn to the Lord, here's how, by our character and our convictions. When they see the guy that's not laughing at the dirty joke, they see something different. When they see that guy, that mom, single mom, putting all their kids on a Sunday morning in the car with their Bibles, that's when the neighbor says, there's something different about that one. When they make decisions and stand up for righteousness, they go like, why won't he? That is different. That's how people are drawn to the Lord. Remember Jesus coming into the temple with all the money changers? What did he do? Hey guys, how's it going? How's the business? Is it good? You getting good return? What did he do? With a whip. Oh, wow. Interesting. What did John the Baptist say when he first came and said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's two ways to do life. Two ways to live this journey. Two ways to navigate this season. God's way or the world's way. But by compromise, people will not see what they need, and what they need is hope, and the hope that we have is Jesus in us. Period. David, why is Uzzah dead? Because you didn't do things God's way. That's simple. Jesus said in John 13:35, and they'll know that you are my disciples by your love says you need to be born again. You need to turn from your sins. I love you so much that I'm going to go out on a limb here, and at the risk of losing your friendship, I'm going to tell you, you need Jesus. Love says the path that you're on, the decisions that you're making, they're going to bring pain and sorrow. You're going to hurt. In love, I'm going to tell you, you need to turn. Not because I'm judging you, but because you need to, because it's going to hurt. You see, I have 4 kids, 9, 8, 5, and 2. Now, the 2-year-old can handle all 3, the other ones together by himself. He's got a will. So when they are erratic, and when they sometimes, at times, slam my doors. See, when they slam a door, what I do? I go to Home Depot, and I get those little rubber little buffers. And I put them on the door jamb. So when they slam the door, it doesn't make a noise. Right. No. I handle it. I lay down the law, if you will. Now why, Raul? You're so mean. Because at 5 and 8 and 9 and 2, if I start instructing my kids and allow them to hit a bump on the threshing floor of my house, in order to instruct them, then they'll learn respect. They'll know. If I let them get away with things, all that they're going to learn is that they can keep pushing, pushing, pushing. And God is the same way with us. He might say, hey, you've gone long enough. I'm going to allow you to go through the threshing floor and hit a bump here and there. Not because I'm mad at you. Not because I'm a mean God out to get you and blast you. But because I love you. David, if I allow this parade, if I allow this celebration that you're throwing together, it's going against what my word says in Numbers 4, David. I can't. My word doesn't change. This is going to hurt. Yes, Uzzah's going to die. True, but it's necessary. The bump on the road is necessary. I have to wonder, if David was not as well-connected and popular as he was, and he was just a humble shepherd boy that killed Goliath, I wonder if he would have called 30,000 people. He's like, hi, my name is David. I'm just a shepherd. Yep, these are my sheep. Don't mind me. Hey, would you come with me and throw a party for the Lord? I need 30,000 of you. I wonder if he would have put a GoFundMe page. He's like, I need to buy a new cart for the ark. Or I wonder if he would have just gone to the word and do as it said. But you see, we just have to be mindful, watchful, because God's word doesn't change. Now, verse 8, it says, and David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? And there's the questions. Two reactions by David: afraid and mad. And then he has the million-dollar questions. How can the ark of the Lord come to me? How do I bring God's presence back into this place? Verse 10. So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Hittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Hittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, if you are Obed-Edom, and you go like, dude, this ark just killed a guy, and he was a Levite. And by the way, you're keeping it at your house. I would have been like, really? Why? What did I do? Right? This is the ark that killed. Yep. Mm-hmm. But look what happens. It says that the Lord blessed Obed-Edom in his household. Why? Because it's the presence of the Lord. And where the presence of the Lord is, there is blessing. Are you tracking this? Now, interestingly enough, Obed-Edom was a Levite, but it gets better. He was from the clan, the division of Kohath. So he was actually a guy that could lawfully carry the ark, not with his bare hands. So I wonder if after this whole thing happened and Uzzah's dead, somebody or David figured out, it's like, okay, let's send it to this guy's house, because not only is he a Levite, but he's also the clan that is allowed to bear the ark. So I think we start seeing David kind of catching, it's like, okay, let's play it safe here. Let's put it there. Should be good. Rebooting, resetting, recalibrating. Now, notice that the Lord said, you know, it says that the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Now, why? Because the presence of the Lord is a blessing wherever it is. Now, track with me on this. Stay with me. Colossians 1:27 says that Christ is in us, what? The hope of glory, right? And 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. So, if we take the word of God and look at it, that means that as Christians, wherever we go, the Lord goes. We bring the presence of the Lord wherever we go, correct? Okay, so, God's ark is in this guy's house, and it's like, didn't kill anybody, it brought blessing. Wherever I, whenever you, wherever we go, whatever circle we're part of, because you're a Christian, because I am a Christian, that place, that circle, that group, that neighborhood, that school, that workplace, that club, whatever it is, should be a better place because you're there. They should be blessing because you are part of it. Now, Raul, are you trying to throw me some weird theology? No, I'm not. But I'm never shocked when I hear of a Christian, a Christ following, God-fearing Christian getting the promotion. I'm never surprised. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, say, oh, whatever. No, I'm not surprised. Why? Because the Lord's hand is upon them, and therefore flows blessing. What do you mean, Raul? Prove that. I'll prove it to you. Genesis 39:5, Joseph, remember? So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, this is Joseph, and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. You guys see that? Wherever we are should be a place of blessing. Your neighborhood should be a better neighborhood because you're there. You should not be the problem neighbor. And if you are, you might need a reset. You should not be the co-worker that everybody goes like, damn, man, that comes that guy, comes that girl. What are they going to judge me about today? What are they going to tell me I'm doing wrong? No, you shouldn't be that person. I'm never, again, in the least surprised when a God-fearing, Christ-following Christian is blessed. Because God blessed the work of our hands. And I'm not surprised when they do well, when the company, the place, the ministry they're in, because it's the Lord's blessing. It has nothing to do with us. It's the Lord blessed the Egyptian. The Lord blessed because of what? Because of the conduit that he's using. You're a conduit of God's blessing to people around you. You are. And those that are lost, back to my earlier point, need to see that. Need to see that you care, that you love, because that's how they'll be drawn to the Lord. My phone always tells me once a week, your phone has not been restarted in 7 days. We recommend you turn it on, so la 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 la. You guys get that too on your phones? Okay, only my phone is weird. Because it's a Samsung, it's not an iPhone. But anyway, that's another story. Everybody's laughing. I know. From time to time, we need that reset and do things God's way. Now, verse 12, it says, now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Verse 13, here we go. And so it was when those what? Bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Now, no longer the 30,000 parade, no longer the new cart. Now it says those who were bearing the ark. See, he went back to basics. He went back to do things the way God's word says to do. And it says that every six steps, they will sacrifice. And they would, you know, offer sacrifices for the Lord. Every six steps. I mean, it's 1, 2, 3. Hopefully I have 5, 6. 6 phases. Okay, set it all up. Sacrifice, offering to the Lord. All right, 6 more phases. 10 miles. Romans 12, 1 and 2. What does it say? I beseech you, brethren, now by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your lives a living sacrifice. I think there's a point here to be made. Every 6 steps, sacrifice. Every 6 minutes, every 6 seconds, every 6 hours, we are to constantly say, Lord, here I am. Because in 6 hours, in 6 minutes, in 6 days, a lot of things can happen. David wrote himself in Psalm 139, 23. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my anxiety. See, here you go, if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is David, the psalmist, giant slain King David, saying, search my heart, know my thoughts, see if there's any wicked in me, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Guys, that is a key. That's something that we must do. As often as you pray even, Lord, search my heart. Search me. Show me. It's something in there that doesn't belong. Now, I'm going to be a little vulnerable with you today. But this year alone, 2020, I can think of 2 instances in my own life that I had to hit a bump. And I had to hit the reset button. And things were exposed to me that I was doing that I'm like, that attitude was just awful. Wow, look what's in front of you, Raul. And were they Is it fun to be humbled? No. Hurts your pride. Is it embarrassing at times? Is it hurt? Yeah. But is it so necessary? Absolutely. I cannot, you cannot, we cannot go on in life and think, oh, we have it wired. There's nothing else to be done in me. I got it all figured out. We need this bumps, this resets. Something to be brought up by the Lord or your reaction or what have you that says, wow, look at this. This has got to change. This has got, we have to get back to where we used to be and do things God's way. Verse 14, then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpet. Now David is happy. And he is happy to the point of dancing before the Lord. I mean, think about it. It's been 90 days, 3 months. My guy died. The party was over. And now the ark, the presence of the Lord is coming. Now it's working. Now that we did things God's way, it's working. And he's dancing before the Lord. And now the coolest thing is that he can't take any credit. It's like, this is the Lord. When I try to do it on my own, it brought death. When I try to manufacture the production and do this and talk to that and manipulate, it brought for death. But when I did it God's way, there's joy, we're singing, we're dancing. The presence is back in the house. He's dancing before the Lord. Verse 16, now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, this is his wife, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought up the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. So David throws a party. Now the right way. Sacrifices to the Lord. Gives everybody some food. He's blessing people. Blessing the Lord. And now he returns to bless his house. But remember, Michal, his wife, she saw him through the window dancing and she despised him in her heart. Watch what she says. Now it says, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of them. Can you hear it? Okay, I'm in trouble on that one again. Email Pastor Bill. Okay. How glorious the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows, shamelessly uncovers himself. Often, after the Lord uses you, uses me, he does a miracle in your life, and you're beaming for joy, and you're just even dancing before him. Often, not saying all the time, but often, after a great victory, comes a big attack or disappointment. Something to steal that joy. What do you mean, Raul? Well, remember Elijah? 1 Kings 18? The prophets of Baal, fire came down and burned everything up. The water, the sacrifice, everything. And he killed all those prophets of Baal. Remember that? What happened right after that? A threat was issued by Jezebel. And he was hiding in the cave saying, Lord, I want to die. Often, it happens. I remember years ago, California, I was teaching through Luke in our youth, and I was so excited that day to teach Luke 19. I think it was Luke 19, yeah. And I was so excited to teach. I got to church, and I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to teach today. Rare. That's rare, because you usually go like, man, what am I going to say? I'm so nervous. But this one, I was like, I felt it. And we got through the service, and the kids didn't throw anything at me that day, the junior hires. So that was a victory. They actually all stayed awake, too. That's two victories. But anyway, it was a fun night. We're getting in the car, and we come to a car, and my window, it's smashed. And my wallet is gone, because I'm a very smart guy that left my wallet sitting right on the chair where everybody can see it. And the credit cards are being used at South Coast Plaza. After a nice church night, I was so excited. It's all gone. Now I got Eli as a little guy. We're putting cardboard on the window to drive home. It was just awful. It happens. A friend of mine told me the other day, you preach on Sunday and you get attacked on Mondays. So since you're here, don't send any emails tomorrow. Wait until Tuesday, okay? All right, I'm watching all of you. Half of you, I see you. But often, a discouragement will come. And unfortunately, in this case, it was David's own wife. Sometimes the ones closest to us, the ones that know us the most, go like, I know you, you hypocrite. I know you, you holier-than-thou Bible thumper. I know you. You think I'm kidding? There's nothing good. No way. That was. So David, verse 21, said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father. You see David throwing a little jab in there? Chose me instead of your dad and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. And I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you just spoken, by them I will be held in honor. And then verse 23 says, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Now it doesn't say that she became barren after David rebuked her. It doesn't say that. Could have. Could be that he divorced her. I don't know. But there's a principle, I believe, here that we should talk about, which is when I am cynical and critical and judging of other people's motives, there's not a lot of fruit going out for me. There's not a lot of joy in me. Have you ever tried it? Try to go and rip somebody for what they do. And then tell me how joyful you feel right after. Oh, whew, oh man, I'm really good. No, you end up worse off than before. There's nothing good that comes out of it, especially when judging somebody's motives for dancing before the Lord, for doing something for the Lord. She's barren. She had no kids. In that culture, it was looked down on. She despised him in his heart. We got to be so careful. I have to be so careful that I don't judge somebody's motives. Let that to the Lord. If there is a hypocrite, the Lord will handle it. If they're real and the Lord. Remember Mary offering, you know, the oil on Jesus? Remember Judas? What did he say? What? Waste. What a waste. That could have been sold and given to the poor. Mary, you're not spiritual. I'm more spiritual. But he said that because he kept the money, right? Remember that? There's always going to be. And where did Judas end up? Okay, right? You see where it's going? We got to be so careful. I have to be so careful. I'm telling you the truth. I have to be so careful because it's so easy to, in your heart, judge somebody by the way they look, the things they do, the car they drive. Especially when you're close to them. But David was dancing before the Lord because he had much to celebrate. God's presence is back. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I think it's the key. It says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What if I was to take that and says, I don't want to know anything about you except you're a Christian, Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't want to judge who you are by the way you look. I just want to know Jesus, okay, him and him crucified. Yeah, me too. Yes, we're in. Let God do the judging of the motives. Let God sort that out. And I've been around ministry long enough to know and see that the Lord does weed out the bad stuff. He does. He does. It's not my job. It's his job. I'm determined, Paul says, to know anything about you and not know anything among you except Jesus and him crucified. So how was your 2020? Maybe this year we were reminded of what's really important. Well, my kid said, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? I said, a new car. No, I'm kidding. I said, I already have it. It's a new car. No, I'm kidding. It's not a new car. See, the new car with David, that's really messing with me. I'm thinking, no, I'm not. I said, I already have it, son. You. You're healthy. Mom's healthy. Your siblings are healthy. We have a roof over our heads. I don't need anything else. Now, do I want something else? Yeah, sometimes, you know, I've been known to put a list or two and check in it. See who's naughty and nice. But do I need anything? This year showed me, if I see my kids running and my wife healthy, that's all I need. We're good. But maybe 2020 had to happen for some of us to see that. Maybe we were complacent like David and just go, oh yeah, it's cruising, the parade, the fun, the music. Maybe we needed that. When our world was turned upside down in March, did you find yourself hitting that reset button? Realizing what's important once again? Jesus, his word. Isn't it crazy? This is a parenthetical thought. That in a matter of what? 6 months, we adopted almost effortlessly a cashless society. Have you ever thought about that? See, 20 years ago when I got saved, I would read Revelation or hear a study and be like, oh yeah, they can't buy or sell this, right? There's going to be no cash. And back 20 years ago, you go like, yeah, it'll happen, but that's way out there. I look back 2 or 3 months. Boom. We're cashless. I went to get donuts the other day. Saw a little sign on the wall. It's like, please give us the exact change due to the national coin shortage. Coin shortage? It's like, yeah. I'm like, well, who uses coins anymore? Here, let me pick for my donuts with quarters. Isn't that crazy? 2020 it should have shown us a lot of things. I don't know if you have a resolution. I mean, if you have one, go ahead, do it. But Jesus is what you need. But what if we were to take this 2021 not knowing what's coming? Because we don't know. And say, we're going to pray more than ever. We're going to live for the Lord more than ever. We're going to go back to basics. We're going to clean house. We're going to get rid of the junk and the filth, if there's any, that needs to go, get rid of it. We're going to live for the Lord because I believe in my heart, his redemption is near. I'm looking. I was driving here today. I'm like, Lord, I'm good. Let's go. Especially before the 9 a.m. service. You know, there's, whoo, whoo. Those guys, I'm telling you. I'm kidding. They're great people. They're all asleep. No, I'm kidding. They're not asleep. They're great. No, but you know, all kidding aside, things are moving faster than ever. Than I ever seen. Now, I'm a young guy. I like to tell myself I'm young, but I'm getting up there. It's hard to wake up sometimes. Oh. What if we were to get back to basics, as Micah 6:8 says? He has shown you, O man, O woman, O people, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. But what? To love mercy. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. One of my favorite Bible verses. This is what the Lord is requiring of us. Love justice. Do justice. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. What if we were to get back to basics? Hit that reset button. Before you leave today, say, Lord, clean. Back to the... See, David had 30,000, right? If you do the math, there were poles, right, that went through the rings of the lid to carry the ark. Okay, it had four rings. So how many people would you need? Four. Simple. Not 30,000. Not the music, the drums. Four people. That's it. What if we were just simple? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's simple. Can I pray for you today? Maybe that's us. Maybe we need that reset. Now, you may be here this morning visiting or watching online, and you go like, Raul, you lost me from the moment you start talking about Benadab. I don't know anything about this. What's the ark? Who's David? Maybe you just know that you need hope and you need Jesus. I did catch, Raul, that you said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I need that hope. Maybe that's you. I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe one of us, two of us, I don't know, listening online is saying, I need that hope. Be real. I love to pray for you. Maybe your reset button is not a reset button. Maybe it's a repent button where you turn from your sins. It says, I'm leaving this life behind. I'm finding new life in Jesus and moving forward. And 2021 is a year that you start building your new life in Christ, because if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. All things are gone. Behold, everything is new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Maybe that's you. I don't know what 2021 will be like, but I know one thing is certain in my heart. We need to be more in tune with the Lord than ever. We need to move forward. Keep being a light to those around us. Praying, reading, being the light that God has called us to be. Yes. And whatever happens, whatever we feel like, is not going to change the outcome. But we can navigate this new year saying we prayed, we sought the Lord, we walked with him, we cared, we shared, we loved, we honored him. We went back, we cleaned house. And what if the Lord was to come? Any day now, and you go like, whew, I feel good. I unloaded all the junk. Those relationships are now restored. Because I repented, I asked for forgiveness, and I was humbled. I went back to basics. Now we're good. What if? What if? I pray you have a great New Year's. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to labor alongside of Pastor Bill and Becky. This is a blessing. But I pray that we would be known by our love for the lost. A love for the dying, hopeless world out there, outside these doors, in fear. I pray that. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, I again ask, Lord, if there is anything said that was not from you, I pray you remove it from our brain, our minds and hearts. You will not. But Lord, if there was something here for us that you want us to hear and do, pray it'll take root in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we will reach out to you. If someone in this room is needing to hit that reset button, and as our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, I want to pray. If that's you, and you say, Raul, that's me. I need that reset. I need to restart again. It's been too much complacency. I want to pray for you. Would you please raise your hand right now where you are? Nobody looking. I just want to pray for you. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Lord, you see these hands, and they are your kids, and they love you. Lord, would you please give them a new start this morning? Lord, they will feel your touch, even right now, as we call out to you, that your presence will overwhelm them right this second, Lord. And they'll live lives that honor you, Lord, that you restore broken relationships, that you will heal, Lord, broken hearts. Lord, you see their hands. Please do your work. And if anyone in this room does not know Jesus, you say, you know what? I need Jesus. I need to repent. I need to, not the reset, but the repent button. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Right where you are. Anybody, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. All right, well, Lord, thank you that these, your people, all know you. Lord, those watching online, I pray you bless. Lord, we give you 2021. We ask, Lord, have your way in our hearts, in our church, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. Use us for your glory. Help us to keep our eyes on you, looking up. For I believe, Lord, our redemption draws near. Lord, restore and heal. Do your work. Have your way in our lives. All for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.